UFO contact from planet Aryan of Aldebaran. About the development of the human race, by Martin Wiesengrun. Introduction. Martin Wiesengrun, as a 15-year-old youth living on the East German island of Rügen on the Baltic coast in 1957, then under Russian rule when it was completely isolated from the West, and completely uninformed on the UFO phenomenon being reported in the West, became an involuntary UFO contactee, being visited by tall human beings who told him they came from an inhabited planet in the Aldebaran star system. They visited him a number of times and took him aboard their 50-meter diameter craft repeatedly. They took him aboard their shuttlecraft too and into a much larger mothership, where their whole ship went inside the bigger one and parked there. One time he stayed with them for 3 days. They told him much about Earth's ancient history, and even described visits from Aldebaran over a very long time, even millions of years, and of the participation of their ancestors in evolving the development of modern Earthman to occupy this planet. They showed him many things. He had to keep silent about all this because of the inhospitable political system at the time that kept accurately detailed notes on all of this, which are only now being published in this autobiography. The work is notable for its extreme detail in descriptions and for the number of separate and distinct race types working in cooperation with the Aldebarans. Foreword. This book is to explain the experiences of my youth in the DDR, East Germany. At that time, I have never again had such experiences as those of that time, but the experiences from my youth have followed me to this day when a good sense has been gained. For a long time I could not speak about it. I could not risk my existence and my job and everything. Even today I prefer to speak to very few people about it. And also I am choosing a pseudonym for myself as author. The first name will be my own. The first name is the correct one. I beg you not to make your life difficult in such a way that you would hasten your decision as to coming to quick judgment about what you are going to read and whether anything is true or not. Think about it, how many times you have read science fiction and adventure literature in your life with enjoyment. Please do the same with this information. Let yourself be, let me take you into this quiet special world that I am going to open up to you, because our world is stifling us. One day in East Germany, when it had ceased to exist, I was able to obtain and read a few books in the library. And through these books I came to realize that other human beings here had also had some experiences like mine. They also had contact with extraterrestrial beings. Whether these other human beings knew about the development of the human race is not absolutely certain. I also was once a 3-day guest with them. Mr. Alex Collier described extraterrestrial beings from 21 civilizations of a human mankind. Oscar McCosey and Lee Carroll and others were told that about 100,000 years ago the humans from the Pleiades mixed themselves with the young Earth humans. The Urantia book speaks about an event 40,000 years ago, when a tall blonde blue-eyed human couple came to Earth to multiply themselves. I find it very interesting that the author Eliar and the South African citizen James Forbes were changed by this, that they are acknowledging as well as I the approximate age of humanity on Earth. In the second half of the 19th century there were a few mixed believers that are friendly toward the idea that humanity was established here millions of years ago. Darwin's lesson on where the human beings came from was not yet established, so at that time facts were not yet acknowledged as we have now, that our scientists have now acknowledged. The authors Cremer and Thompson, who followed the old saucer reports, established them as such for ancient societies. In Macoupin County of Illinois, U.S.A., in 1862 even, a human skeleton 300 million years old was discovered in coal strata. In other places they have found certain inscriptions from colonies showing their interest in UFOs and their efforts to defend themselves. 7 and many millions of years old bones from ancient animals have been found where they were hunted down by humans. Some inscriptions show the style of hunting them and the utensils used. I invite you now to enter the world of a young 15-year-old German boy living on the island of Rügen in the year 1957. Please follow me into these exquisite lifetimes. Martin Wiesing Run. Chapter 1. Before my first contact. Balder Ekista Day, a small sleepy town near Glau on the island Rugen, in a beautiful country populated by only a few people. High beautiful trees surrounded a house where I lived. The home was on a slope slightly higher than the town on a hillside. My room was upstairs under a gabled roof, and from there I could well see the countryside and way beyond from my room. From the window I had a most beautiful view. Sometimes at night when the stars were shining like tiny diamonds, I sat there gazing at them until my eyes hurt. I could see all over the valley because of my high hillside elevation. What could there be out there in the depths of the endless cosmos? What was out there unknown to us? I could have given everything to know more about it. Until this day, the 18th of July 1957, about 11 o'clock, I walked around to my secret hiding place on the coastline of the waters there. The clouds and sunshine changed places with each other regularly. Now and then the winds would split the white clouds floating by on the breeze. Such days I loved. That really attracted me over and over again to this rough rocky coast. In order to reach my little hiding place, about 2 kilometers away to the northeast, so that I could avoid being seen from the house, I would have to run in that direction. Before I could find that little country path that led to the village of Kochsdorf, I would usually stop to catch my breath. Cozily I would sit down a little bit at a place that since ancient times. From that little place I would usually enjoy the wonderful and beautiful days, the lovely view I had of this deep coast. From there I had to walk 1 more kilometer to my place. I gazed in the direction toward the other end of the big potato field that ended up in clover. This field was a very rich ground, and there I noticed that out of that direction a weak shadow came toward me. It had a diameter of 5 meters. Astonished I watched it carefully. Its edges were fringed around an oval shape that glided silently above me. After a few moments I stood in the middle of it. Again I was enclosed in, I thought, and I could not see my path. This happened several times in June and July. Each time it happened just as I was about to reach my hiding place. I had not noticed this at first, because nothing special was going on. The only thing I found to be strange or unusual was that, after the encounter with the shadow, a very unusual feeling, a beautiful dream, would come over me. And I found it very funny or humorous a little bit when this shadow would accompany me. My hiding place lay in a northeasterly direction toward a place called Wolfs, or so the people call this part of the Baltic coast. Around that nine place, very richly grew hazelnuts, rose hips and tall pine trees, and other bushes and shrubs. The trees were mostly conifers deformed by the wind. At a single place in the vicinity of Wolfs, the you could find 20 meters big, a grassy area some 2 meters deep, a spot where I was able to see far beyond. From this place all the way down to the stony beach, there was a white shore cliff 15 meters steep down. So that I could reach my hiding place better, I made myself a few steps down to it. Only I knew of this spot. From here was a most gorgeous view to be seen. In clear weather I could see Cape Arkona very clearly. It was here in this place, by a little mountain and the seacoast, near a rough cliff on the rocky coast of the Cape, not far from the lighthouse on the water, that things happened. When a ship from Sweden would come by, the fishing boats would tack out into the water on the winds, followed by the people. All this I could see from my panoramic view. This was the tiny little spot on this earth I loved. I deeply loved it beyond everything else. I made a shortcut on my way into this potato field in a northeasterly direction and across it. Sometimes I felt somehow that I was watched, but I didn't ever see anything. Far and wide I did not see a single human soul. Only a few cows ate in the clover field in front of me. The more I concentrated on my unusual feelings, the more I remembered of my earlier encounters with these shadows. 8 or 9 times on different days and times it repeated itself similarly, so gently and so in peace. But today was a feeling like never before. If that was connected with these unusual shadows, then I will have to deal with it today, but if it is a result of the shadows' past days, I thought, it could wait. Soon I reached the narrow path into the field. It led to the forest lush and I stumbled and fell sometimes over the little stones in the field. Soon, at this moment, my God, I noticed that I was already on the other side of the field, on the edge of the huge clover field. I was drawn with much attention to look carefully in the direction of the coast. Nothing. There was nothing, not a single human soul. Only those beautiful birds singing their usual melodies. I took a step forward. There was a lovely songbird that rose out of a bush and climbed high into the air. Surprised, I looked after it, and there in the sky I discovered two big light yellow-colored shining wheels. The edges were like fringes on a curtain. They glided slowly before my eyes, then separated and crossed past each other and continued steeply up in a northeasterly direction. I thought that the shimmering or the shining in the air would continue. This time in the southeasterly direction. I closed my eyes and opened them because I wanted to discover the effect. After a moment it did not shine anymore. I thought my eyes were fatigued from gazing. I speeded up my walk toward my special hiding place so I could look far and wide and discover things. After a few moments I reached my secret place. I ate a bite of food, then and I began my favorite activity. I searched and searched in all directions all around me, observing the beautiful scene I enjoyed. Each time I got around nature, I knew, each time. After a little while I was getting tired from all the gazing. I made a little place to lie down on the ground. I put my sunglasses on and the blanket at my back, and half sleepily gazed up into the sky. Continually and non-stop the wind would push the clouds ahead of it. Sometimes smaller and sometimes bigger clouds, and sometimes the huge rolls of cumulus clouds. It looked as if the sun was jumping from one cloud to another. Soon tiredness overcame me and I fell fast asleep. After a couple hours of very beautiful slumber, the coolness of the winds awakened me. It was blowing a little stronger and more intense than before. Slowly I opened my eyes. Very harshly the bright sunshine in the atmosphere was shining and penetrating my eyes. Oh my goodness, again this strange light is shining so intensely and the thoughts rushed through my brain. I closed my eyes and opened them again. Soon after that I blinked them again. Those lights. Light yellow, dark yellow, light yellow again, then red, then dark red. Those colors still continued and a fear entered my bones. Has my health suffered so much? I asked myself. A little bit worried, I stood up and looked out over the sea. Now nothing. There was nothing. The lights had ceased. I felt better about it now and I laid myself back down. Maybe I was just dreaming. I looked up and gazed up into the heavens, at the drifting clouds. But that weird shining was continuing. Curiosity took over and I wanted to find out what that was. Thanks to my weak sunglasses I was able to actually explore this, but concentrating on the shimmering light that invaded my sight. Even though the sun now and then seemed very bright, I was actually able to look into the opposite lighting. Slowly, gradually I acknowledged the rounded circle and the pointed triangular outlines. And immediately there was also this multicolored shimmering light, like someone using many colored lumps and they were opening and closing somehow, on and off, and they were closing way too fast. I felt a growing anxiety in me and my heart began to race and pound like a hammer. Boom, 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 what could it be? What could that intense colored light be doing in my brain? Impatiently I waited. Soon the wind would push another cloud before the sun. I had plenty of time to study this phenomenon and to find out what does this all mean, the weird clouds, etc., and suddenly the sun was free again. Then I saw the origin of this strange motion of this light phenomenon. It consisted of two gigantic rings. One ring was round and the other triangular. At a height of about 150 to 200 meters they stood above me. Beneath it was a powerful continually pulsating light. Suddenly this wheel started to shake. It was gliding high, up and down, like a swing, left and right. Shortly they stopped and stood still as if somebody had hung them there as a lamp. I began to panic. Like a stick I lay the lifeless, 11 motionless on the blanket I had brought with me in the meadow. I breathed slowly and I looked, frightened, above me. Suddenly stronger and stronger within my head came a boom, 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 a loud sound. I was almost dizzy. Even with all this excitement I was able to keep an eye on the apparition, on those things, and then a few seconds later they separated and they flew in a big circle away, and then came back to the same old spot above me. That oval circle sometimes gave out of itself information that came from it. It turned faster and faster, and then like a loop it would disappear with fantastic, amazing quickest speed into the east direction. The triangular circle still stood motionless in the sky. Stunned, I was waiting. What would happen now? Suddenly and unexpectedly this triangular circle fell down like a star toward me. At this moment my whole body turned into what you would call a cramp. My heart was pounding stronger and stronger. I had an unexplainable feeling within me, like somebody was going to tear me to pieces. In panic, I jumped out of my hiding place as fast as my legs could go and ran toward the south, to a former farm in Kustorf. There had stood long ago old houses. The only thing that existed then now were huge old trees surrounded by thick old bushes and brush. There also was a little old boat, visible about 150 to 200 meters away. In this old boat in the thick of the bushes I sought protection. And breathlessly, as if I were a hunted fox, completely exhausted, I sat myself down against a tree trunk. I desperately tried to calm down. After I was able to calm down a bit, I looked through the branches of the tree in the direction I had come from and saw nothing unusual. Only the wind rustled the leaves. I looked at my pocket watch. It was 7:03. It was time I had to go home. I left my hiding place in the opposite direction from which I had entered it. In this very wide meadow I looked around. I looked behind me, and above the boat was this triangular shape, hovering still in the air. I was startled again, and the boom, boom, like thunder started again in my head. My blood was racing in my veins as if they would burst. I acknowledged that this unusual thing had followed me, and even more, it had discovered me now. I couldn't even hide. Then I thought maybe I was supposed to be noticed, that I was supposed to be seen. All of a sudden I heard a sound like a turbine. I couldn't even scream. I couldn't think one single intelligent thought. Something was wrong with me. It felt like somebody was turning their fingers in my brain, as if somebody was searching for something in my brain. I almost felt as if I would have to blow up. I collapsed. My senses disappeared. After 5 to 6 minutes I woke up again. I lay upon the ground without emotion. Happily I had the courage to look, to gaze in the direction of the cockies. I saw nothing unusual, nothing. Around me it felt as if something really unusual had happened. Fearfully I rose myself to my feet, but still that weird feeling would not leave me. Was it my nerves? Did my nerves overcome me? 12 Now suddenly a great inner peace and balance overtook my being, even a feeling of great joy. Courageously I jumped around in the meadow. I did not understand what had happened. What had happened? Luckily unusual emotions one after another entered me. Luckily, on the way home I was having all kinds of thoughts. What did it all mean? It really took hold of me completely. I didn't even realize that I had passed my own house. Unexpectedly I stood in the main street, the street that would guide me to home safely. Was this experience completely so? I asked myself. I finished walking a few meters of the main road, and then I came back. I ran into my mother's arms. I wanted to hug her, but she held me tightly in her arms. Stop, my big one, where are you coming from?
Well, you know.
From the coast.
Why, which coast?
She wanted to know.
You appear so pale. Have you done something?
Oh no.
But I did experience something exciting.
What exciting thing could you, such a little boy, have experienced?
she said. I could not really tell you. You would not believe it anyway. I said. She let go of me and pushed me gently toward the inside of the house. Come on, go in there. Dinner is ready. Glad that I could now escape some of her inquisitive questioning, I went inside and escaped into my sanctuary, into my room. Of course I was exhausted and tiredly I fell onto my bed. I slept a little and many kinds of thoughts traveled through my brain. With a strong loud bang my window slammed closed. That terrific noise suddenly threw me out of my thoughts and I got up and washed myself. I noticed a red color on my bodily skin. I didn't feel anything unusual. Even though the tiredness was still bothering me, I still couldn't sleep. Constantly this experience was forcing me to think. After I washed, I noticed a red color on my body skin. Even though the tiredness still bothered me, I could not find sleep. Constantly this experience was still involving me to think nonetheless. This lasted a while, but gradually, because of the lashing of the trees behind our house, I couldn't sleep. Sleep would leave me. I had a very unusual dream. In the beginning I saw two solid and very odd-shaped trees in the fog and two beings came out of it. Slowly the fog would glide away. The two beings, with antennae on their heads, stood there in silvery shining suits in front of the high trees. They gave me signs with their hands and nodded with their heads. I soon acknowledged that they were inviting me to come close to them. The smaller being called me by the surname of my language. A very seductive power thrilled me to death in the developments. The beings asked me, 13, do you have the courage to come with us? Nothing dangerous will happen to you. Just put away your fear. We are willing to show you something that no earth human has seen before in a very, very long time. I will go, said I, but I can only do it on 23 July, in 5 days. They were agreeing then with this date, but they were now insisting and wishing that I would appear early in the morning, around 4 o'clock. Gradually this dream picture disappeared. And I just got this field with gorgeous flowers, the most beautiful flowers I had ever seen. This completed the dream picture. A loud motor sound from outside awakened me, but I felt very well rejuvenated. Even the redness of my skin had also lessened, turned back. But I was not in a mood to get up so early. That I would only do towards 8 o'clock in the morning and after I had completed my breakfast. And very much after that I have to fulfill the day's work and the tasks of my parents. That they wanted me to do during the work time. After that I dreamily followed my responsibilities. I could do what I wanted, but the dream pictures would not leave me. They continued. Chapter 2, My First Contact. As soon as the day arrived when I was to meet with those beings, somewhere my nerves tightened, developed and just appeared for this first contact. Surprisingly, I was the night before this meeting not at all excited. I had by now already organized and arranged to leave the house early. In the morning on the 23rd day of July, I awakened myself early. My inner clock roused me very, very early. When I dressed, big doubts overcame me. If I really wanted to experience that, this exact experience that I went through in my dream, could it not be that my nerves got kind of spooked because I had laid in the field too long, in the outdoors, or maybe the hallucinations were overtaking me? A thought that really started to disturb me was whether I might be harmed. A wish to explore the situation to the bottom came over me. But also a fearsome little feeling in my stomach that I could not seem to shake off. I looked one more time out my window and inhaled the clean fresh morning air. It wasn't until yesterday that I noticed how now and then the clouds parted and morning would arrive. So, after 3 in the morning I went out and walked toward my adventure. After I reached the path in the field, that led to our little place, I still had to go about 0.5 kilometer before I reached the wide entry into the potato field. It could be seen clearly. About 100 meters was still necessary, which I still had to go. Attentively I looked around at my surroundings. The closer I got to my castle, the more doubt came over me. It was 3:40 in the morning as I entered this old place, at the old farmstead. It was awful. My feelings were ghostly weird. Not more than 2 steps had I gone forward, when suspiciously I gazed around my position. Suddenly I saw in the bushes a weak reddish blinking light. I stopped breathlessly. The fear my whole body was experiencing as my heart was beating faster and faster, and my blood raced through my veins. My forehead was sweating. I stood there and looked toward this blinking light. After 3 to 5 minutes, somebody pushed the bushes aside. My bones were shaking and I thought I might sink into the ground. All of a sudden the dream was coming back to me clearly, and 2 beings with helmets appeared on the edge of the forest. Exactly as in the dream, there stood 2 beings with helmets in this old place, and they stood there and did not move in front of the bushes. In comparison to their heights of 2 meters 20 and 2 meters 30, I appeared as a dwarf, a midget. The smaller being took a step toward me and took the helmet off. Copper brown skin appeared and long brown hair fell to its shoulders. 15 This being must have noticed the plight I was in, because it looked into my eyes very steadily and very penetratingly. Gradually my fear feelings subsided and my abused nerves calmed down and I was capable and able to concentrate again, normally, only now I noticed these 2 strangers completely. They both had silver shining closely fitted space suits on, coverall type. Their helmets were shining like chrome, and the helmets had visors, like in the old Middle Ages, with colored glass as a part of the helmet, and it protruded slightly. On top of the space suit one could see an elastic double ring that connected it to the helmet. From the wrist of their hands to above their shoulder, alongside the arms, was a few centimeters thick hose that was tied onto the arms. In that old farmstead setting, the smaller one stepped toward me. She had long coffee brown hair that came down to her shoulder. She had very well trimmed long narrow brown eyebrows and reddish eyes. She was very gracious and had the ability to penetrate my brain and to rearrange my brain and thoughts. She could implant those thoughts as she desired. And on her hands, you could find on each of her hands only 4 fingers. Her height I estimated to be about 2 meters and 20 centimeters. There was a container about 20 by 60 centimeters on her back. That container had a small hose running underneath her shoulder, and from there along the side of her body and down to her legs. At the height of her breast on the left and right sides were big pockets with some instruments. From her shoulder to her upper thigh there was fastened this zipper thing. Their zipper could tighten the pockets and would close her space suit. At the height of her upper thigh was a box, and inside the box was an object that resembled a double injector or aerosol that was to protect her from stray insects. That being held this aerosol container with the double injector in her left hand. On the right, at the height of the breast on both beings, chinned in bright yellow color a rectangular symbol or sign with stars that was designed in the form of a narrow reversed Z. That sign seemed to have a special significance. Now the picture of the man that was 2 meters 30 centimeters tall, about 7 feet, standing in the old farmstead, who stood in front of me. His head in comparison to his body height was way too small. Even though the size of the body instilled fear in me initially, it emanated goodness and kindness, and peace from it. It had a roundish face with heavy eyebrows that nearly met over the dark shining slanted eyes, and what was very noticeable was an incredibly big nose. The skin color was slightly brown. He resembled a Middle European at most. With curiosity I looked at this strange luminous flying apparatus. Right on top as seen from the front was a blinking reddish light, on the side a yellow one and a green kind of position light. While they were blinking there was a constant change of color on the machine. Underneath the craft one could see right and left 2 half-circular formed bodies. They were glittering with a bright white light. As I was 16 ready to gaze some more and really get a good look at it, my fairy suddenly pulled me back as she made a very strange whistling noise, a loud one. It seemed to mean, please don't go toward those glistening white circular globes. In the middle underneath one could see a signal apparatus about 6 meters wide. There are many, many openings from which there appeared this brilliant glistening white light. toward the back of the flight object were underneath it about 6 meters long, huge signal lamps fastened. They were shining a weak yellow-white light.